It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Manning takes the knee and the New York Giants are the Super Bowl 42 champions.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
They knock off the mighty Patriots 17-14.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Keep doing it. You sounded just like him.
Did I? Yeah, and I sounded just like him. All right. 888-808-1019.
Gonna play that one for Marco when he gets back, just like Sunday morning.
All right. On this Thursday morning, McMonagle here with you, getting ready for a big game for the Mets that we do have to transition into actually getting ready for tonight, with Quintana on the mound in a must-win game number 3 in this new wild card format, which, amazingly enough, has only gone to a game 3 twice. How crazy is that? How crazy is all these sweeps? And then it's only happened twice, and the Mets are involved both times.
So far, they're the only team to lose it.
That's true. That's crazy. And we saw sweeps I did not expect the Tigers to sweep the Astros. You could have sold me on maybe winning that series, but sweep? The Royals take down the Orioles. We'll get to all of that. But I do want to just talk more about the Mets just for a little bit. Still take your calls, 888-808-1019. So, for the last caller who said, oh, you can't go to Maton there. If you look at how they've pitched for the Mets, oh, you just had Stanek. How do you take out Stanek to go pitch to Maton? Well, Stanek, now listen, everything is, there's recency bias, and pitchers aren't always the same as they've been, or you could have a hot pitcher. We see hot players. Why not? And Stanek threw the ball very well. Can't argue it. But since becoming a New York Met, Stanek and Maton are not even in the same discussion. Stanek's ERA with the New York Mets is 6.06. Maton's ERA with the Mets is 2.51. It's more than doubled. Like, Maton has been their guy. He's been, after Buddo kind of went into a little bit of a slump or so, like, he's been their best reliever for a month and a half. This is the guy they go to in the eighth inning. If you're, and me and Mike were just talking about it, if you're one of the people who believe that Diaz should have come into the eighth inning, there's a good chance, if he makes it through, Maton is then pitching the ninth. Like, he's their guy. And so it's tough to just say, oh, they, how do you pitch Maton there? How do you not stick with the 6 ERA guy and not go to the 2.5 ERA guy? I don't know. Seems crazy, doesn't it? 888-808-1019. Steve in Wayne, New Jersey. What's up, Steve?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Here's the way I feel, okay?
Yep.
If you look at Maton's numbers when he pitches two, you know, day after the day he pitches, his numbers go up drastically, right? Okay. I believe he pitched 3 days in a row ending with that game against the Braves, yep, where he wasn't sharp. He only had one day off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I understand that Maton has been big for the Mets, you know, as the eighth inning guy. But you just knew this guy didn't have enough rest, and that's what my problem is.
Yeah.
The way I really, you know, and I'm not second guessing, this was my initial thoughts as the game went on yesterday. I believed yesterday Buto had a 4-run lead. Okay, Buto has been a starter, and they stretch him out. He's thrown 2, 3, 4 innings. He should have left Buto in yesterday, okay, to finish that game up. Any signs of trouble, you get Stanek up, okay?
Right.
Then if you would have done that, you would have had Stanek for 2 innings today and then gone to Diaz. That, you know, and I'm telling you, that's the way I felt before. Well, the problem is that Maton, you could see he didn't have the snap. He only had one day off after going 3 days.
Right.
And he labored those days. He wasn't sharp. That's my problem with bringing Maton.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't.
Go ahead. Continue.
I'm sorry. I don't buy into the fact with that last caller says the guy was, you know, what he calls throwing hot, you know, 98 miles an hour, then you bring a soft tosser. You know, they didn't face him. You know, when a guy's throwing, you know, 98 miles an hour to 3 guys, well, they, you know, the next 3 guys didn't face a 98 mile an hour guy. You know, my problem is that he wasn't sharp. He was overused 3 days. He only had one day rest. He had no business being in that. He should have used Buto for 3 yesterday. I don't like the way he's managed the bullpen. He should have used Buto for 3, okay? Used Stanek for 2 today, and then went to Diaz. The only bright spot out of this, the only thing I can see, is now you got Diaz with 2 days rest.
Yeah.
And when he has 2 days rest for tomorrow's game, he's 98-99.
I agree with your Maton part of it. I don't know if the Stanek part of it is what they would have done no matter what. Yeah, I mean, the only concern about Maton is, I agree with you, 3 out of 4 days, right? That he had 3 in a row, then a day off. 3 out of 4,
yeah.
3 out of 4 typically over the course of a regular season is we're staying away from him. Totally agree. I don't know.
Right.
They trust him. It's easy to say now. You could see he didn't have snap on his pitches. That's once they got him into the game. Like, and
yeah,
they can't take him out.
They
can't take him out until he faces 3 batters. So it's not like, you know.
I understand that, but you saw he didn't have the snap on his pitches against Atlanta.
Right.
He just went 3 days. You saw that, okay? And he only had one day off. This guy's got to be able to crack his wrist, spin the ball, and he just didn't have it. He didn't have it against Atlanta. He needed a couple of days off.
Yeah.
He should have went 3 innings with Buto and then had everybody have rest.
Yeah, I think your point about Buto makes sense. I was thinking that yesterday. Why not just have Buto finish this off?
Right.
Not so much
Thank
that.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, that I agree with. But and I didn't think of it for the reason you're thinking of it necessarily. Yeah, a little bit to give guys rest, sure. But mainly because Buto's not going to pitch. Like Buto doesn't come back after, like, he's going to pitch and now
right,
he's going to be
so
gone. So why not, while he's on the mound pitching well, you might as well use
Burn him.
Yeah,
right.
That I agree with.
Right.
That, I thought about that.
Yes.
I don't think it's a killer, but I agree. I would have done that. Stanek has only gone multiple innings once this year. I'm sorry, 2 innings once this year. So he's only completed 2 innings once this season. I don't think they're going to
Stanek.
Even if he didn't pitch yesterday, I don't think they're going to him for 2 innings this game. You could argue Reed Garrett has done it more often. That's fine. I think they have trust in Maton that he's their guy. And I know he didn't pitch for 3 days. He pitched a lot. They probably asked him, how you feeling? He said, I feel fine. He said he felt fine after the after the game, and they trusted him. I mean, that you trust your guys.
I know. In hindsight,
he looked exhausted. Totally agree. And and ultimately, it was a mistake because he had nothing. And now you don't have him for tomorrow for sure, or later today. I don't disagree with you on the Buto. I would have had Buto just finish the game because you're not going to pitch him anyway. So why throw another guy out there? But I don't think Stanek goes two innings no matter what. They're not going to push Stanek two innings. Again, he's completed two innings only once this year. All right, so you wouldn't have finished Buto three innings to finish the game.
No, so they stopped pitching him more than two innings. That hadn't happened since July. And I do think because it's playoffs, I do think he will be available tonight, probably just for an inning.
Right.
But I think the reason that they didn't push him one because he hadn't done it, and Stanek hadn't pitched in forever. So I think Mendoza wanted to get him into game one.
Sure.
And I do think that in a do or die, win or go home game, will be available tonight.
I was listening to Evan go back. It's happened. He's done it like three or four times this year, pitching on the second day. With only one day off in between, I guess. Does the third inning keep it from still having him today? I mean, does it matter? I thought that watching the game. I'm like, why not just finish it with Buto? But I guess it makes sense. If you want to get Stanek involved, and so that Stanek might not have been sharp today when you needed him if he didn't pitch yesterday. So I get all that. I still don't think Stanek's going multiple innings. And now you do have Buto, I suppose. I don't know if you don't have Buto, if you throw him an extra inning or not, but you do have him today. All's on deck, right? So everyone's on deck. If you're going to go to Buto, the only guy who I would think off of that performance last night is Maton.
And the guy to argue that would have gone multiple innings in game two was Reed Garrett. Or pushing Minaya to the sixth inning, which he's done pretty much every start out for the last 3 months.
Me and you agree on that one. That's the you wanted to push another inning from a guy. For me, the best answer of that is Minaya. I would have felt better about sending Minaya out for the sixth than I would have felt good about sending Reed Garrett out for the seventh or Stanek out for the eighth. I would have been much more comfortable sending out Minaya for the sixth inning. I'm honestly not sure why they didn't. I mean, I guess they felt they had options. I mean, he wasn't pitching poorly. He had already got through the top of the lineup again that third time. It doesn't make any sense to me, especially because he's been the kind of guy who goes deep into the game. He got lit up the game before against Milwaukee the last time. Maybe he was afraid to face Hoskins again because of the Grand Slam. I don't know. And then you put yourself in a position where if he does get into a situation where you won't let him face Hoskins, now you're bringing in one of your relievers into a tough situation instead of a clean inning. I guess I would have pushed him one ring. I would have had more faith in him. 888-808-1019. Mike in Cortland Manor. What's up, Mike?
How are you, sir? Great show.
Thank you, buddy. How are you?
Couple of things. I mean, as played, I would have put Stanek out in the eighth. We all know the regular season doesn't matter when it comes to the playoffs. Everything gets thrown out the window. Totally different. But it doesn't matter what Stanek did in the regular season, two innings once or whatever. Threw 10 pitches, let him come out the eighth. It gives up a base run, and then you can put Maton in. All right, that's what. But as played, Maton is never supposed to face the lefty after giving up the two-run homer. In no way, shape, or form should he have been in that game, giving up that home run to the lefty.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. After Willie Adames gets that base hit, now he's given up a home run, two singles, and a double play on a hard-hit ground ball. There's no way he should have been in to give up the home run. I agree. That's a mistake.
Two other things quick, if I can.
Yeah.
How did we get this far with that clog in the middle of the lineup, which is Alonso? Oh, my God. I mean, can you believe we're this far with a guy that I think had five RBIs in three or four different games this year? What do you have, like 90? So take away 20 of them, which didn't mean anything, basically. Yeah, like 70, I mean, in the rest of the games. This guy, what a dud. He can't, he comes up with bases on double play, comes up, strikes out, then there's two outs and nobody on, he gets a base hit.
Yeah.
I mean, what happened to this guy? What happened to him?
That base hit is almost negative for
number four batter?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's been brutal. He's been brutal. I'm surprised I haven't taken more calls specifically on that. People like to argue what they think they can do because everyone believes they would be a great manager. So I guess I'm not surprised a lot of the calls have been about the eighth inning and Maton, but I'm surprised I haven't got more hate on Pete Alonso right now because I don't disagree. He's been brutally bad. He has been so unproductive. And like it's amazing how he hasn't impacted anything. He's been unimpactful. And that hit at the end of the seventh or eighth inning, it almost works against him because it's like, sure, with two outs and nobody on, what happened in the first inning when we had runners at the corners with one out? What'd you do? Hit into a double play and tripped over the bat. What'd you do in the fifth inning when you had a runner at second base and two outs? Swing and miss at a splitter in the dirt. But sure, in the seventh inning, when nobody's on and two outs, yeah, give me a little bloop single. So you in the post game, you could talk about the walks that you had in game one and the bloop single you had in game two. There is no doubt he has been brutally bad. And, I mean, they'll never do it. And Mendoza's already said he's going to get another chance tomorrow and he'll step up. I mean, you could argue to play Vientos at first base. Like, that's how bad he's been. I think definitely they'll never do that. You could certainly argue to move him down the lineup. I mean, if Alex Rodriguez can hit eighth in a playoff series, then so can Pete Alonso, although that was a freaking disaster. So maybe you shouldn't do it. But, yeah, Pete Alonso is a major problem right now, major problem. And because he's giving you no power. And that's what I saw Mendy say, and when asked about Alonso, he goes, hey, Alonso's a power hitter. He's one swing away from, you know, changing everything or whatever. Like, yeah, he is. But it's gotten to the point now where it's just, you almost can't stand looking at him. And it's amazing. When you think of heading into this year, I mean, Evan not shaving his beard until they re-sign him. The love that the fan base had for Pete Alonso. He's going to be the greatest position player in the history of the franchise. You got to keep him. It's absurd. You can't call yourself the richest owner in baseball if you let Pete Alonso walk. And now it's to the point where I think the fan base has done a complete 180. I would think most fans don't want him back. Not even undecided or indifferent, or I could see it now. Like now they've gone beyond, well, listen, if they go out and sign Juan Soto, sure, you know, maybe we'll trust Stearns. Now it's like, no, Pete cannot come back, this waste of space in the middle of the lineup with, you know, a meaningless 30 home runs and 80 RBIs and somebody who's killing them on a nightly basis in these big games. And we'll see, he's got an opportunity here because, let's be honest, if they're down one run in the seventh or eighth inning and he hits a three-run home run, I'm going to be taking calls feeling a lot different about Pete Alonso. 888-808-1019. All right. I'll continue to take your Met phone calls, but we do have to start the transition a little bit because there is another team in town who will be playing a postseason game on Saturday, and now we know the opponent. And we know the map that and the road that they have to take to get back to the World Series, and I'm telling you right now, I said it yesterday, I'll continue to say it, I'm not alone, I saw everybody else say it on Twitter, it's just the facts. The New York Yankees have no excuses not to get back to the World Series. I mean, they have to go through the American League Central. How did they get so lucky? And that's not uber confidence. Like everybody, oh, don't be so cocky. I'm not being cocky. I'm not. Nowhere am I saying the Yankees are going to the World Series. Nowhere am I saying they are going to beat up on the Royals. Nowhere am I saying this is a joke. I'll see you in the World Series. What I'm saying is, they are, without question, better than these teams. These teams have gotten hot. These teams played a fraud Orioles team, and the Tigers are hot. They're not nearly as good as the New York Yankees. And the New York Yankees have not had to face and go through a postseason without having to worry about a team that isn't better than them in a long time. And if they can't do it now, when? When do you start losing faith in this Judge group?
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, It can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
If they can't do it this year.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
It'll be a 1-1 to Judge. The pitch swung on and hit. Deep center field. Trout on the run. Aaron Judge, number 50.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 227, McMonagle here with you. Playoff baseball is here, and it is fun. And we can react to that game last night over and over again, and we will, 888-808-1019. But the fact of the matter is the Mets are not done. The Mets have a game tonight. And the Mets have bounced back at every single opportunity this year. They've had gut-wrenching losses. They've had blown saves. They've had games that look just like that one last night. But now their ultimate test. They have to bounce back, and they have no safety net. This is it. The New York Mets are facing a win-or-go-home game tonight, game three of a wild card series. It's not quite game seven, but it's the same thing. They have to go out there and win tonight. They'll have Quintana on the mound. And this offense has got to do more than it did yesterday. And this offense has got to come through with runners in scoring position better than it did yesterday. And they probably have to start driving the baseball better than they have, as they've had 15 hits and 14 singles. And while that sounds great, it's a tough way to win ball games. It's a tough way to put runs together. They need to hit home runs. And who's going to do that for them? We'd like to think Pete Alonso. But Pete has been MIA. The guy has been atrocious. He's in every big spot. He has failed. He is having one of the most least impactful seasons I've ever seen from a, I don't want to call him a star player, but one of the more important and best players on a team. He's put up numbers that have felt empty more than, and typically that's a stupid thing that I will push back on, like I did all those years with Alex Rodriguez. Oh, great, 30 and 100, they're all meaningless. Obviously, they're not all meaningless. Even Pete's aren't all meaningless, but it sure feels that way. And he's carried that right over into the postseason where he's done nothing. Hasn't driven in a run. Hasn't impacted this team or these games at all. And if they're going to win this game, maybe they could sneak by without him. But if they're going to want to go beat Philadelphia best out of five, Pete Alonso's got to wake the hell up. And no better time to start than now. 888-808-1019. Ed on the Turnpike. What's up, Ed?
What's up, brother? Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, bro. I'd like to defend Pete a little bit. Some of his picks out of the dirt against, you know,
He has played great defensively, and not just yesterday. He has played great defensively for a little bit. I mean, even the play that obviously Diaz doesn't cover first base makes a diving stop. He's scooped up everything. I forget which game and which pitcher it was now, but almost threw the ball away, and it was amazing that he still scooped it and stayed on the bag. His defense through the last 2 weeks or so has been very, very good. Can't argue that.
His pitch selection is just brutal.
Yeah.
You know, watching the fastball go by him and then swinging that garbage in the dirt, you're right, it's atrocious. He's having a really tough time.
Really tough. And he's just, you know, he's coming up in big spots. And then to make matters worse, he'll get a blue pit with nobody on and two outs, and it feels like, you know, it almost works against him because it reinforces the issue that it's about strictly about clutch and it's strictly about in the moment he can't come through, and it's been that kind of year for him. But they need him. They need him desperately. You know, me and Fliegelman were joking about ways you could get around playing him. I don't think you can. You got to play him, and you got to hope he hits.
I agree. You got to start him again. You got to ride horse tomorrow.
And Mendoza will. I don't think it's a real question inside Mendoza's mind or with the Mets. It might be a thing that we talk about, but he's playing. There's no doubt.
Yep. All right. Thank you, bro. Have a good night.
No, you got it. Listen. That is true. I don't think that's much of a defense, to be honest with you, because, I mean, he saved some errors, and I don't want to diminish any position defensively. It's always good to be an excellent defender, and first base is no different, but it's an offensive position. Plain and simple. You gotta score. You got to help score. You got to hit home runs. You got to be impactful in the middle of that lineup, and right now, he's just not it. And he's the number one guy we're going to get on. Number one guy. When we look back, if they lose today and don't score runs, he's going to be the guy. Because he comes up in the first inning and literally falls all over himself. He comes up in the fifth with a runner on at second base and with runner in scoring position, strikes out. And then what happens when there's two outs and nobody on? Oh, I'll dink a little base hit to right field. That means absolutely nothing in the game. Like, that's right now, it's what he's doing. Chappie and Bayside. What's up, Chappie?
Hey, pal, how you doing? I don't mean to kill Pete, but I am going to kill Pete.
Yeah.
But I've killed him in the past, and I once called up the station, and I used the term, and I got thrown off because I said he was pretty much like...
Well, don't use it now.
No, I will not.
Well, you want to say which host will throw you off and which won't?
No, I will not say. So the term I refer... what I was saying was I believed he was mentally handicapped, which was not a nice thing to say, and I used more of a slur about it, but... This is my problem with Pete. Number one is, and this probably is more of a call for, you know, when the Mets, you know, when the season is over for this team. But at the end of it all, this team, maybe they have to be in this position tonight to go further in the playoffs. I'm trying to do anything to talk myself into believing that the road would have been, you know, if they would have closed it out last night, that it wouldn't have been the 2024 Mets. So I'm trying to do anything to convince myself.
Yeah.
But This is my issue with Pete, and on this roster, the problem is that I truly believe that as smart of a ball player as Lindor is, and as high of a baseball IQ as he has, I believe Pete Alonso is the exact opposite. I believe he's a low IQ baseball player. I think in big spots, there are things he does that is puzzling. Even his defense has been great; he has been excellent in the playoffs. I can't complain. He's a below average defender
by and large, yeah.
No, but the eye has said he's been okay, and I'm fine with that. But this is my issue. What I wanted to do was, and again, this is the roster for 2025. But what I wanted to do was, I actually wanted to see if we could move. Would have been a perfect move is I would have moved the Anthos to first base. Then what I would have done is I would have loved to have signed Chapman, although obviously he inked that extension with San Francisco. I would consider trading for Arenado if you believe he has anything left in his bat, and I believe he does, with St. Louis saying that they want to cut payroll in 2025. It's factual on this. And then what I would have done is I would have brought in Santander to play right field to replace Alonso's offense, because their offense is so similar.
Yeah, I hear you, Chappie, but I don't really feel like bringing down the 2025 Mets. The season's not over. They play tonight to see if they move on to the NLDS. I think they should be favored in the game. They won't be, but I think they're not. I mean, I knew that without even thinking it. They're going to give it to the home team, but I expect the Mets to win this game. I do. And this wild ride heading into the game yesterday, I would venture to say that 90% of the Met fans were extremely confident in the game. Now, I know that includes Manaea pitching, and he's been great lately in their ace. But it's really one loss just because it happened to be a blown game in the eighth inning. Like, have we lost all of our exuberance? Have we lost all of our confidence in this team? Have we gotten to the point where we're breaking down what you would do in right field for next year's roster? Like, come on. Let's go. Big game. This is fun. This is what we live for. Thankfully, it's not at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Because if the Padres would have lost, if the Braves would have forced the game 3, they would have played at 7 o'clock, and the Mets and Brewers would have been at 3 o'clock. So at least everybody, you know, we don't have to deal with that. But I'm excited. Let's go. I believe in this team. I still do. I believe in this manager. Now you got Buto, and I would think Stanek. You'd have to pitch him 3 days in a row if you need him. But you got, you know, Buto and Diaz ready to go. Diaz is ready to give you six outs. I would say that he's ready to give you 6 outs. I think the pitching matchup still favors the Mets. And ultimately, I think the lineup top to bottom is the Mets are better. Let's go out there and win this thing. Val in the Bronx. What's up, Val?
Good morning, Brother Mac. How you doing this morning,
Doug?
Good
morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. I wanted to talk to you about some Yankee stuff. I got some Knicks things, but I'm going to leave them because I know tonight is not the night. I was discussing that with Fleas, and he told me already, let's not even get into that. So my Yankees points is good, and I'll get into that. But just before I do that, one thing on the Mets really quickly. You just said something just now, and I feel like, you know, I'm with you when it comes to that. And a full disclaimer, while I look at them from afar, I'm not a Mets fan. But I think the energy needs to change, man. This is the life we have chosen. So right now, you know, y'all still got a chance. There's still a game going on tomorrow. And some of the action and the urgency needs to be more about what do we do in the next game tomorrow as opposed to, you know, reliving and rehashing. I know some of that plays into, you know, not making the same mistakes as the next game comes through. But, you know, I'm always of the mindset of, you know what, we can talk about what went wrong after it's all said and done. We still got a chance and you're still in it. Let's deal with what's in front of us right now. So that energy needs to change towards that.
Mm-hmm.
To get to my Yankees, you know, the decision has finally been made. Now we know who we're playing. And, you know, while a lot of people, I even heard Evan kind of saying the same thing that you and I were discussing yesterday, and he was on your side as well, too. He was actually saying that we should have gotten the extra game so that they, just like you said, they can use up as much as they have to, you know, to prep for it.
Yeah.
But it's over. They're sitting down. That's all well and good. Two things about my team, this what's coming. I've been saying it all the time, and I think, like, you know, the way things are playing out, it's really playing for Judge to, like, this to be the breakout postseason that he has when he claims that Mr. October, you know what I mean? And I just feel like, you know, it's a gut feeling, but I just feel like he's primed and ready to take on the challenge right now. And as far as, you know, there was some stuff that was going on with the pitching and all that stuff like that as well, too. You know, I heard people saying stuff. They've already kind of set out exactly what, because I think it's Cole going first game, and then it's going to be Rendon coming in the second one.
Yeah.
Do you have any kind of feelings or any kind of leanings as far as who you're looking at for the if it gets to, well, not if it gets to, but who you're looking at as far as a game three starter?
Yeah, Luis Hill. I think Luis Hill is going to be the game three starter. I think Luis Hill, you only need three, and it's going to be Luis Hill and it's going to be Clark Schmidt in the bullpen to possibly piggyback him if he doesn't pitch well or just to be out in the bullpen for a different set of circumstances. But I think that's going to be it. It's going to be Luis Hill. But let me just get to it for a second. You say it's lining up for Judge, and I don't disagree, but I will say this. I believe Michael Wacha is going to be the game one starter. And that's part of the reason why I feel like the Yankees are in good shape, because if you look at these teams, they're not very good. And as much as the top of that or that Royals rotation is, I don't think it's as deep as the Yankees. But here's the problem with Michael Wacha. Aaron Judge is 1-for-18 against him with 11 strikeouts. Aaron Judge cannot afford to have that kind of game in game one. He's got to be, from the beginning of the series, the Yankees need game one in this series, because then they will face the two real strengths of this Royals team, which is the two starting pitchers of Reagans and Seth Lugo, who both were able to win games against the Orioles. Let's just get there for a second. First off, bye-bye to both the Orioles and the Astros. And I just want to say, is the two enemies, I suppose, heading into this postseason, certainly. I know I wanted to see the Astros, and now it's almost like I hope they have a big year next year to try and take him down, because now it feels like the Astros are over, doesn't it? I mean, that series, they got completely shut down by the Detroit Tigers. And I know the Tigers are hot, and I hear all the crap from everybody. Oh, don't say the Tigers are going to the World Series. Don't sleep on the Tigers. Don't sleep on the Royals. I understand. No one's saying the Yankees can't lose to these two. But are you telling me I'm not supposed to feel a little bit better that the Astros, like for chances of the Yankees winning the World Series, that the Astros and the Orioles, who've been the better teams all year, the Orioles who won 101 games last year, the Orioles who, you know, have this young dynamic lineup I keep hearing about, against the Central, who literally, quite literally, would not be playoff teams if not for the fact that they played the worst team in Major League Baseball history 13 times each. This is lining up, and I talked about it yesterday, this is lining up for the easiest path. That's not being over cocky. That is not saying, oh, they're going to do it, or that these games will be easy. What I'm saying is that every other year in the Judge era, they've never had home field advantage, ever. They've never been the team who's had it run through their building. And they've always had a team that you could point to and say, look, they're better than you. It might not have always been true, but you could make the case. 17, obviously the Astros go on to win the championship. They were young, and that was their year, and Sports Illustrated predicted it 6 years prior, whatever it was. Like, they were legitimately good. 2018, the Red Sox won 110 games, whatever crazy number it was. They were legitimately good. 2019, the Astros went back to the World Series. Same core group that's gone to now a record that is over 7 consecutive American League Championship Series. 2020, the Astros were still there. That's a funky year. I don't even know if you can count it, to be honest with you, a 60-game season. 21, the Yankees were in a wild card game on the road. 2022, same thing, great regular season, banged up by the end of it, and the Astros were champions that year. They have never gone into the postseason as the clear-cut favorite to get through the American League. And right now, if you look at this team, if you look at these teams, look at the Tigers play these games. Watch the games. Yes, they beat the Astros, no doubt. Are they dangerous? Of course they're dangerous. They're young. They're talented. They don't realize they should lose these series. All of that. Hinge is a better manager than I would have guessed. I was wrong on him. After the scandal with the Astros, I said he'd be the last guy I'd ever hire to coach my team. Not because he cheated, but because he tried to get them to stop, and they didn't give a damn what he had to say. He was banging, as they were banging drums, he was taking baseball bats to the television. He was taking baseball bats to the screens that they were using to cheat. And then the next day, a new screen would pop up. They didn't give a damn what he had to say. And I thought, well, that's a guy who doesn't control his baseball team, so why the hell would I ask him to be a manager for my team? I was wrong. He's done a great job with this Tigers team. Done a great job. But watch them. They've got Skubal. And that's it. The offense has nobody with 25 home runs. The offense has nobody with 80 RBIs. They pinch hit everybody. They don't have anybody who stays in the lineup. They don't have anybody who hits righties and lefties. They are a mishmash of undeveloped toys. Now, I'm not saying they're not dangerous or they can't be beat. They're going to go play the Guardians. Like, should I be less excited that it's them as opposed to the Houston Astros and the pedigree that they have? Like, that's a break for the New York Yankees. And watching that Orioles team, oh my goodness. This team, you know what, maybe you can make the case that you were better off seeing the Orioles. The Orioles completely broke. And do you remember the Yankee fans? I was laughing at all of you. Laughing at all of you. So many Yankee fans were trying to tell me, oh, here we go. How important is this? Why are they playing so poorly against this Orioles team the second to last series of the year? They're trying to clinch, and look, they're getting their ass kicked by the Orioles. You have awoken the Orioles. The Orioles were terrible, and now you're letting them come here in our building and beat us up like this? The Orioles are going to wake up, and you better watch out. You better not see them come postseason time. They stink. The Orioles are an embarrassment. Maybe one day they'll actually win a playoff game. Do you know when the last time the Orioles won a playoff game was? You know how many consecutive playoff games the Orioles have lost? But let's just talk about this group. Last year, 101 wins. Best team in the American League. Three straight. This year, the Kansas City Royals, who again would be under 500 if they didn't have to play, if they didn't get it, are lucky enough to play the Chicago White Sox 13 times, they'd be under 500. They scored one run in the series, the Orioles. One run. And let's be honest, and this great Royals team can't score either. And I know they threw Burns at him in game one. Who pitched game two exactly for the Baltimore Orioles that Kansas City can only muster two runs? It's not that they can't lose to the Orioles. They're the Royals. They're better than the Royals. They're better. They are clearly better than every team that is left in the American League playoff series. This is the year. If they can't do it this year, how could you expect them to ever do it? Like, honestly. Like, I don't even know what changes have to be made. The manager, I suppose that's the easy one. But the real hard question is about what's up with this group of players. Right? We're going to say, oh, you got to bring back Soto. Oh, we got Judge and Soto and Cole. Great. This group with those stars can't beat these teams? Like, yeah, okay, get rid of Glaber. Okay, easy, right? We'll move on from Glaber, change a couple things. But what about the core of this team? Like, this is the year the Yankees have got to get back to the World Series. My goodness. They are far superior to everybody else. The two teams that you thought could beat them, because of how well the Orioles have played against them and who they've been all year, and because the Astros are the Astros. And instead, they both got picked off, swept in the wild card. And again, I know I wanted to see the Astros in some way. I have to admit, it was so sweet to watch them rally back, take the lead, and then give it right back and watch Hader, who every Yankee fan told me that Hal Steinbrenner and Brian Cashman are idiots for not bringing Hader here. And cheap bastards. All that money for that guy to blow saves for them. Oh my God, how sweet was that? And just the complete uneventful ninth inning that they just laid down and died for the Tigers. Laid down and died. And the Orioles embarrassed themselves against the Royals. And now you have a matchup, you know, hearkening back to the 70s and 80s. And I'm sure they're going to play all that. We're going to see a lot of George Brett, Goose Gossage, Chris Chambliss. There's going to be a lot of Royals-Yankees history. Reggie Jackson. Those 70s and 80s teams, George Brett. It's going to be a lot of fun, but they only have to face Seth Lugo once. They're going to have to face Reagans twice. They're going to have to beat Michael Wacha twice. Michael Wacha. This is the year. This is the year. And watching those games today, I was actually at my, because it's every day. I got something every day. I'm exhausted, people. I'm exhausted. I come home, I got to play dad, I'm playing dad with the kids, and it's great, and I love it, but I'm on the couch, like, barely holding my eyes open as I'm trying to help them get dressed. They're up so freaking early. They're playing this new game. I don't even know why they like it so much. It's a card game with animals on it. That's it. It's a card game with animals on it, and they give clues, and you have to guess what animal it is. And I'm sitting there with, like, literally trying to keep my eyes open, helping them get dressed, you know, microwaving this one, the pancakes, making this guy the waffle with the iron maker, with the waffle maker. And they're just like, he's got four legs. He lives in the forest. I'm like, oh my God, I can't. I just want to scream. No, that's mine. Never mind. I'm getting into my mornings. We don't have to. But I enjoyed at, how did I start this? Oh, I was at soccer practice. I do a million things for my kids, right? So I'm at soccer practice watching these games on my phone back and forth, loving every second of it. And I know the Tigers did something the Yankees can't do. I don't care. I know I wanted to play them. I don't care. I loved watching them lose. And now this New York Yankees team, with this lineup, this rotation, this back end of the bullpen, I don't want to hear it. There's no one who could beat the New York Yankees except the New York Yankees. That's it. That is it. It's official. The New York Yankees are the only ones who can stand in their way. And we've seen it time and time again. So by all means, am I nervous? So when people say, oh, the Royals create this kind of problem, or I'm terrified of the Tigers because they're hot, I'm terrified of no one. If the Yankees play their game, they're going to wipe the floor with these teams. These teams aren't good. The Detroit Tigers are hot. They're not good. The Royals have a couple pitchers at the top of their rotation. They're not a good they're not a really good baseball team. The Yankees could lose to them because the Yankees can be the worst version of themselves, and that's what we've seen a lot in the postseason, and it's got to change this year. Peter in Manhattan, what's up, Pete?
Hi, how you doing, Chris? How's it going? You're funny, Chris. What can I tell?
Thank
Chris,
you.
Just to share with me, I have a 13-year-old, and he's playing videos now, and he just told me, Dad, I'm hungry. Tell Mommy to make me food.
Yeah.
So, you know. But anyway, Chris, just a few pointers. Yeah, just a few points. Listen, you have to get lucky to get the World Series. I mean, look at Texas last year. You know, they played Arizona. They escaped a good National League team. So that's point number one. Point number two, you're right. I mean, KC, you know, just the facts. If you take away the Chicago White Sox, the games they play with them,
yeah,
they had a losing record.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to lose to KC, it would be totally embarrassing. I mean, I don't even know how you react.
Embarrassing. I don't know what you do.
Embarrassing.
I don't know what the Yankees do if they lose to the Royals.
Unless they're going to shell and they can't hit. I mean, there's no way. I mean, how can you even justify that? I mean, you go back, you had really good series back in 76, 77, 78, and 80. You know, George Brett, Chambliss, et cetera.
Yeah.
And the other point I want to make, the Tigers, you know what the payroll is, Chris? You know what the Tigers' payroll is?
$42 million.
$18 million.
$18 million.
You lose to the Tigers. If you lose to the Tigers, what's your justification?
Yeah.
And I mean, Cleveland. I mean, they've been in Cleveland. So I agree with you.
They have to play the American League Central. The American League Central has, like, every time at the beginning of the year when I was trying to justify their record, and everybody's like, oh, it's nothing but bad teams. I was like, oh, they beat the Royals. Oh, the Royals stink. Oh, they beat the Twins. Oh, the whole Central stinks. Oh, they beat the first place Cleveland Guardians. Chris, the entire American League Central sucks. That's what I got. Now, what do we got? Oh, these guys are dangerous. That bullpen. Bubich. They're dangerous. They're not dangerous. The Yankees are dangerous. They're dangerous to themselves. It's a matter of them playing well, like it's always been. I didn't care about that series against Baltimore. It meant absolutely nothing to me. It clearly meant nothing to the Orioles. I told you, it means nothing. And especially the Yankees with a 6-game layoff means absolutely nothing. The Yankees are far better than every team left in their way on the way to the World Series. The National League, different story. The actual World Series, I think they're going to, whoever they face, even though I don't think Milwaukee's that good. And I don't think, well, now the Braves are out. Other than that, I think they're going to see a damn good team that be right on par with the Yankees. But I'm sorry. The Tigers are not, no matter how hot they are. They literally have two different teams. Like, if you watch them, the right-handed starting pitcher, there's the lefty lineup. Once they go to the bullpen, Hinch blows a whistle, and half the team walks off the field. And then they bring in the other half of the team. Like, and that can be, you know, it could be fun to watch and mix and match, but what it means is they don't have any good players who can hit both lefty and righty. They don't have anybody who's worthy of staying in the lineup. And they have one starting pitcher. They traded away their second-best starting pitcher. They have the Yankee. It's one thing to lose two games in a five-game set, and for the Tigers, it'll be a seven-game set if they see them. Like, you can't lose the ALCS to one pitcher. This is the year. And if they don't, I don't know how Hal will take it. My gut is, well, we had a great year. The playoffs is a crapshoot. Which, by the way, it's freaking true. The playoffs are a crapshoot. And I think the Tigers, if they were to face the Yankees in the ALCS, would prove it.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.